Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. We're going to jump right into this scripture today. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Last week, we talked about a fresh start for the new year. This Sunday, I want to talk about keeping it fresh. Have you ever reached for that delicious cold milk jug, only to discover it had been left out of the refrigerator? Or you reached for that bread to discover that the bag had been left open and now it's moldy. Anybody ever had that happen to you before? Many people treat their relationship with God like this. When they need it, they reach for it and they find it's old, stale, or moldy. Today I want to encourage you to keep your relationship with God fresh. Everybody say fresh. The definition of fresh, I looked it up. Here's a few of the definitions. Newly made. Recently arrived, retaining the original properties unimpaired, not stale or spoiled. I love these definitions because that's what I want my relationship with God to be like. Amen. I don't want my relationship with God to be stale or spoiled. When we talk about something being fresh, we want to know if it's available now. Is your milk fresh? Are the vegetables fresh? Is the bread fresh? Are they available to eat now? There have been times, I know this doesn't happen in your house, but where some milk has been stuck in a cup. And for some reason, it has not got into the washer or you have not washed it and you find it. And you pull that thing and you look inside and you get met with a beautiful smell. Woo! And you take the lid off and you look and there's something chunky in there. And you try to pour that thing out and it might be a little bit stuck and you have to pound it out. Anybody ever had that happen with milk? Maybe some hot chocolate or chocolate milk or something you've left out. I want you to know that that has happened in way too many people's spiritual lives. They've put God on the shelf and they've put their spiritual life on the shelf and then they say, oh God, I need you. And they take a look and it's moldy. Today, I want to encourage you to keep that relationship, that spiritual relationship with God fresh. I'll never forget the story of the pastor. He spoke at our church many, many years ago when I was just a teenager. And he wrote a book about prayer. And he talked about praying and seeking God like he normally always did. Getting a hold of the presence of God one morning. In a normal routine of just keeping his relationship with God fresh. Soon after that, he got a call from the hospital. There was an emergency and he had to rush to the hospital. And what I love about the story is he said, I didn't have to conjure up my relationship with God. Oh God, I haven't prayed in a week. or a month. Oh, Lord, I need you now. He says, nope. I walked into that hospital, prayed for that person under the power of the Holy Spirit, and God healed him right there. Because my relationship with God was fresh. You see, church, I'll never forget that, because that's what I want my relationship, that's what I want your relationship with God to be, fresh. Everybody say fresh. Fresh. I'm going to give you three words today that you can use as a way to help you keep your relationship with God fresh. The first word is daily. Everybody say daily. We need to put God first on a daily basis. Not weekly, not on Sundays only or Sundays and Wednesdays, on a daily basis. We need to read God's word on a daily basis. Find a plan that you want to be consistent with. Maybe the Bible app. If you don't have a Bible, you have a phone. I mean, just about everybody has a phone these days. Find a plan in your Bible that works for you and be consistent with it. Maybe you want to read the Bible through in a year. 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday will get you through the Bible in 1 year. There are some I saw just the other day, Chi Alpha's trying to read through the Bible in 120 days. Whatever the case may be, one year, I just memorized scriptures, the book of John. That's what I did for the entire year. I've read the Bible in different ways. I've read it in 90 days. There's different things that you can do, but read the Bible daily. Can I hear an amen? If you don't like to read, or if you can't read well, there are ways to listen to the Bible. I love listening and reading at the same time. I love listening. There's ways on the Bible app. You can hit play and it'll read to you the Word of God. There is no reason why every believer should not listen or read the Bible on a daily basis. Amen. We need God's word in our heart. We need God's word to speak to us. This is God's communication to us each and every day. You see, in God's word, he will speak to you about what you need to change. He will speak to you about how he loves you. He will speak to you about even the history of the Jews. And there's so many amazing things that you can learn from the Bible. You can learn. You know, when I read the Old Testament, some people say, oh, I can't stand Leviticus. I can't stand some. You know, one of my favorite books in the Bible is Deuteronomy. I'm telling you. Talks about the blessings and the curses and how much God will bless you if we obey him. But when I read through Leviticus, you know what? One of the big things I get out of that is this. I am so thankful Jesus came to this earth to die for us so that way we don't have to do all these sacrifices anymore. I mean, there's sometimes I just read and I'm so thankful that God has brought his salvation to us. So you can look at every part of the scripture and you can find joy in it. Even when I read through the genealogy, I look for the interesting names. Like a high tub. I think of a tub up high. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could find fascinating in the Word of God. Don't just say, I'll let somebody else tell me about it, or I'll let the preacher speak on it Sunday. I'm telling you, each one of us need to read the word for ourselves on a daily basis. But also, besides reading the word, we need to pray and seek him on a daily basis. I love to pray and seek him early in the morning. I believe there's a principle there. Seek him first. Put God first in your day. Now, I know everybody can't do that, or somebody chooses different things, but I want to tell you this. the word says, Matthew 6, 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Or seek him first. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You want these things in your life, put God first. You want these things in your family, you want these things for your job, put God first. Psalms 5:3 says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. I love seeking God in the morning because then it prepares me for the day. It prepares me for the day. And one of the things I like to pray is, Lord, when somebody comes in my path, help me to be ready to minister to them. Or bring somebody in my path. See, I'm praying expectantly in the morning. Now, I want to just talk about this for a moment. This may help you. You may have an amazing prayer life, and that's fine, but this may help somebody today. There's a couple of ways that you can pray. This will help give you a pattern. The first one is called the Acts pattern. We want to be like the book of Acts. The book of Acts had God's power, God's anointing. The church was filled with his amazing power. The church saw people saved on a regular basis. How many want to be more like the book of Acts? Sometimes there was persecution, but anyways, but we want to have that power of God. And so this is a way to pray in your life. If you take the book of Acts or the word Acts, the first letter is A, adoration. Is it on? Yes, it is. Thank you very much. Start by praying and just seeking the Lord, just by worshiping him. So many times we come to God and immediately we're like, God, I need this. You know, if you're a parent here and the only time your kids ever said anything to you is when they need something, how would you feel? Hey, mom, I need 20 bucks. Hey, how was your day at school? Phew. Hey, mom, can you make me breakfast? I believe that we sometimes do that with God. Hey, Lord, here I am today. I need this. Well, start by praising him, by spending time in adoration. Adore him. Not for all he's done for you, but just praise him for who he is. God, you're my creator. You are awesome. And just spend a little bit of time with that. The second thing is confession. Now, I'm going to share a principle that I believe works. Confess early in the morning. Whew. Confess your sins. Daniel confessed for his nation. Nehemiah confessed for his nation. Confess. Watch this. Confess over the things in your life that you struggle with. Someone may need this today. Father, I confess that I struggle with anger at work. So, Lord, I ask you, I repent of that, and I confess over that before I go to work. Amen. Try it. I confess that sometimes I treat my wife not good. So I confess, or your husband, whoever you may be, I confess that I struggle with greed. And Lord, I pray against selfishness in my life. I confess it. I confess over lust. I confess. So I challenge you to try that. The third thing is thanksgiving. Then is when you say, Lord, I thank you for the home that I have. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the provision that you've given me, the job that I have. I thank you. Spend some time thanking the Lord. And the fourth thing is supplication. That's when you give all your requests to God. Amen? So try that. There's another way. I'm not going to go over this as long. It's called pray. It's a similar concept. Praise. Spend some time praising the Lord. Spend some time repenting, asking, and then yielding to his presence, yielding to his spirit. You may want to write that down. You may want to use it. That will help you in your prayer life. How many need to work on their prayer life? Let me see their hands. Is there anybody here like me? I need to work on my prayer life. Amen. You can also pray the scripture. You can take a psalm and you begin to pray it. Pray it out loud. You can also pray the Lord's Prayer. In fact, the Lord modeled that for us to pray after. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's a similar concept. You could pray that. Speaking of prayer, we have prayer tomorrow night, 6:30. I want to encourage you to become a part of prayer. Pastor Larry, our West Florida superintendent, our former pastor here, has set out a pattern and a plan for all churches to pray in January. And he's given us a list of things to pray for that we're going to be praying over tomorrow night at 6:30. I want to encourage as many people to be here as possible. 6:30. Then, this is a side note, this isn't even a part of the message, but if you want to play basketball, we're going to have basketball at 7:30. So see me afterwards, I'll give you details. Thank you for laughing. Praise God. All right. So the first word is daily. The second word is deliberate. Take time for God. Make time for God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Don't just say, "I just pray without ceasing." Really? Paul said it, yes. But let me tell you, try that with your spouse. We're always dating. Really? Have you done anything special for her? No, but we're always special. Really? You try that with her. Try that with your spouse and say, "It's always special." No, it's not. If you don't take special time with God, then you're not taking time deliberately with him. And then throughout the day is when you're always consistently praying without ceasing. Or it's like the guy who was asked if he tells his wife he loves her. He said, "Well, I told her on our wedding day and it hasn't changed." How do you think that'll go over? Take time for God each and every day. Let the Creator know that you are interested in him and that you want him to be interested in you. That you are thankful for him in your life. Some of us may need to even set an alarm to take time with God. Amen? Praise God. I mean, we set our DVRs for our favorite shows. There's sometimes we wait in line for that latest iPhone. I know I'm not talking to the young crowd here. Anybody do that? Okay, thank you. I got a young crowd. All right, very good. I mean, there's times we wait in line for that concert. We wait in line for that ball game. We take time to do what we want. Take time with God. The third word, and we got to move, is, now this one I got to admit, I was going to use the word stop, but I wanted the words to be starting with a letter D, daily, deliberate. So I thought, let's use a word that like stop. So I called it, and you'll remember this, desist, cease and desist. You want a fresh relationship with God, there are some things you got to stop doing. There are some things that just don't mix in a healthy relationship with God. Sin, pride, and arrogance. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Or life to the full, or life to the abundance. You see, the devil wants to put all kinds of stuff inside of us that is going to block our relationship with God. But God wants to give us life to the full. Life more abundantly. I've got some helpers coming out now. They're going to help me. I want to show you this. This has been This has been on my heart for a while, this illustration, and I hope it makes sense to you. Thank you, guys. This represents our life. This represents what God wants to do for each one of us. You see, we are to be a conduit of God's blessing and favor and anointing to the people around us. That's what you're here for. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus wasn't just saying that about himself. He was saying that about you and I. And so when I say that we need to stop some things, you're going to see how that makes sense in a moment. You see, as we fellowship with God and our life is unhindered, we have the flowing of God's Spirit through us. Praise and worship, the anointing all works. It just flows. And let me tell you what, God, this is how God wants our life to be. Communication with God, God's anointing all flows. We walk into our classroom at school, or we walk into our workplace, and everything just flows because we have a relationship with God that is unhindered. Everybody say unhindered. The blessings of God are unhindered. It just flows. But something happens when we stop making our relationship with God fresh. When we put it on the shelf and suddenly our relationship with God becomes moldy or stale or old, something begins to happen. If we allow sin to come into our life as a believer, we start allowing things to creep in. God then says, when you go to work, there's a person that you need to minister to. But all of a sudden, I'm not listening anymore. All of a sudden, I don't care anymore about people. All of a sudden, I really don't have it because sin is blocking me. There's things in my life. And so, God, I believe that God is continually speaking to believers all the time. The problem is not God, is are we listening? Are we flowing through God's Spirit? And you see, then we have something called habits that are unhealthy, or habits in our life that we've allowed to creep into our life. Habits that is not pleasing to God. Habits that we know does not belong. Habits that maybe have caused addiction or things in our life. And we say, well, you know, it's just kind of who I am. It's what I do. And we say, okay, we put that in our life. And as believers, we got to watch out because we have distractions. What our life was once healthy, walk with God, all of a sudden distractions become more dominating in our life. Instead of seeking God first, it's more about the phone, or it's more about sports, or it's more about this or that. Distractions become a part of our life. Or we come to the place, the Bible says, the cares of this world. Jesus says the cares of the world will choke the things of God, the seed, the cares. We all have cares of this world. We all have families and jobs and finances and bills and all these things. But when they become more important than God, when they become more important than God, and pretty soon we're not seeking God first, but these things dominate our life. Unhealthy relationships. You see, we're to be the light of the world to people who are unhealthy. But when we yoke ourselves, Jesus said, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Do not put yourself in the seat of sinners or the council of sinners. But pretty soon, when unhealthy relationships, maybe dating becomes, you say, well, I can win them to Jesus. Well, unhealthy relationships can become a detriment to our walk with God, can become unhealthy instead of making our relationship with God fresh. then we have doubt. Does God even love me? Am I good enough for God? Does God still have a call on my life? Did God really call me to do what I'm supposed to do? And, I mean, just let the pastor do that. Just let someone else do that. Let someone important do that. Doubt begins to creep in. And then we have fear. Fear. I'm letting fear control me. I'm letting fear get a hold of me. I'm letting fear dominate my life. I don't know what I'm going to do, but fear can be such a block in our life. Your past. God can't use me because of my past. I've got too much wrong. I've got too much bad. There have been people that I know that I've talked to that have said, "You don't know, Pastor, what I've done. God can't forgive me." Your past. And lastly, we can allow unforgiveness to creep in. Unforgiveness. And you see, God didn't do this to you. God wants to use us. He still loves us. But we're walking around. We're walking to school with the heavy burden. We're walking to our jobs. We're walking to our workplaces. We're walking to our homes, and we bring this into our homes. And the Holy Spirit wants to move through us. And so instead of husbands blessing their wives, husbands are taking it out on their wives, or husbands are taking it out on their families, or siblings are taking it out on one another because they're blocked with all of these things. And instead of God wanting to do great things in you, he's trying to allow the Holy Spirit to move, but you're blocked. And there comes a time when you're walking around with this and you're living with this, and whether it's with all of these things or with one of these things, but there's something not right, and you say, "Enough is enough. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I have to have you." Now, this is what Pastor Larry gave me for my when he installed me as pastor. This is going to represent the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's going to come a time. It might be a time around these altars. It may be a time in your bedroom. It might be a quick thing, or it may be days. I don't know about you, but sometimes to get our relationship with God, we have got to say, "God, I have to have you. I have to have my relationship with you fresh." And the Holy Spirit begins to do something in our life. He begins to say, "I've got this. I've got you. You're going to be okay. I want to use you again. I am not done with you. I still love you, and we're gonna see God work." Amen. And yes, it's gonna happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And something begins to happen in our life. And one more time, God wants to flow through our lives again. God wants to minister to us. See, he is not done with you. He's not done with you. The awesome thing about God is he loves us despite. I remember I told an untruth to my mom one time. This was in Bible college. Man, I couldn't pray. I couldn't worship. Finally I had to call and I said, "Mom, I'm sorry. I lied." Man, do you know how amazing prayer time was after that? Good job, JP. Do you know how amazing worship time was after that? God began to flow again. And there are too many times that Christians are trying to do everything and serve God, but they got all this stuff in their life. Maybe the influence in your life, maybe the things we listen to, maybe the things we watch are putting a block in our life. And it's time for the Holy Spirit to come in. It's time for the Holy Spirit to say yes. You see, Psalms 51, 7 through 12 says, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." That's what God wants to do for us. Stand with me today. Let's just cry out to the Lord right now. Father, we need you. We need you. I need you, Lord. I don't want to let anything keep me from having a fresh relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, I don't want to let anything hinder my relationship with you. In the name of Jesus. If this spoke to your heart while they begin to worship, I want you to find a place around these altars. And I want you to say, "God, renew, restore. Lord, give me that joy. Bring me that peace in the name of Jesus. I don't want to let anything hinder me from you. In the name of Jesus, begin to come. Begin to come right now. I want to start 2023 in a way, in a fresh way, a fresh touch, a fresh relationship with God. Thank you, Lord."